murder at Greystone Mansion. The Doheny Estate, also known as Greystone Mansion in Beverly Hills, is breathtakingly beautiful, but has a dark, tragic past. One February night, years back, a piercing gunshot echoed through the halls of the Tudor mansion. Then, moments later, another gunshot. The owner of the mansion, one of the wealthiest men in the United States, was found shot to death in a guest bedroom. And lying just a few feet from him in the doorway was his friend and secretary, also dead from a gunshot wound. Papers quickly labeled it a murder-suicide, but based on evidence at the scene, many believe there's more to the story. In years since, the house has garnered a hair-raising reputation. Greystone Mansion is one of the most haunted spots in Beverly Hills. A murder mystery and haunting all in one. Welcome back to Avery After Dark. I'm your host, Avery Ross. Thanks so much for tuning in. I am truly fascinated with today's case and haunting. I came upon it a few days back and said, yep, y'all need to hear this. I have a special interest in this case because I actually lived in Beverly Hills for a few years, and it's one of my favorite places. It's a beautiful city. The homes there are on another level. I had a cute little apartment in the heart of town, and I really enjoy living in Beverly Hills. It's so different from any other area in LA. Amazing restaurants, great shopping, and so much history, as we'll get into today. I would be so grateful if you left a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts and share this show with your friends, family, coworkers. I so appreciate all your support. Now, without further ado, let's get into today's story. It sits at 905 Loma Vista Drive in Beverly Hills 90210 and overlooks the city. Greystone has been used in countless TV shows and movies. Film crews often choose to shoot here as it's one of a kind, known for its opulent beauty and acres of manicured grounds. The interior of the mansion was used in The Big Lebowski, Norman Osborn's mansion in Spider-Man, and Jack Nicholson's Massachusetts home in The Witches of Eastwick. More recently, Paul Thomas Anderson featured it in There Will Be Blood. Greystone appears in Ghostbusters 2, Death Becomes Her, Indecent Proposal, Austin Powers Goldmember. The list goes on, and it really is one of the most stunning homes I have ever seen. And it's hard to believe this slice of beauty was the setting for one of the most mysterious murder cases in Los Angeles history. The heir to one of the largest oil empires, Ned Doheny, the man who lived in and owned Greystone, was found shot to death in a guest bedroom one evening. And lying near him was his longtime friend and secretary, Hugh Plunkett, also dead from an apparent gunshot wound. Story was, it was a murder-suicide. Hugh supposedly shooting Ned during a work dispute. But many have pointed out strange inconsistencies in the case. And to this day, it's a mystery as to what really happened that night. But there's one thing that's very clear. Since their deaths, staff and visitors alike say the place is haunted. But by who? And could the paranormal activity give us insight into what actually happened that tragic evening? Maybe. Let's start at the beginning. Our story really begins with Edward L. Doheny, Ned's father. Edward, originally from the Midwest, made the trek to California and dreamed of making it big. And he struck gold. In 1892, Edward and his business partner, Charles A. Canfield, struck oil in Los Angeles. The two went on to become the largest producers of oil in the world at the time. Edward was on top of the world. He married Carrie Luella Wilkins in 1883. They had two children, a daughter who died at 7 years old, and a son, Edward, aka Ned. Ned became the sole heir to his father's oil fortune. Edward was the oil tycoon of oil tycoons at the time, and with his fortune, purchased the land that Greystone Mansion would be built upon. Things were going well for a while, until they weren't. After Edward and Carrie divorced in 1899, Carrie, Ned's mother, took her own life. Ned's father eventually got remarried to another woman, also named Carrie, and Ned was raised by his father and stepmother, and grew into a young man. In 1913, he married Lucy Smith, a woman from Pasadena, and as a wedding gift, Edward Sr. gifted his son Ned and his new bride a parcel of land, nearly 13 acres on a hill overlooking Beverly Hills. Ned and Lucy went on to have 5 children. And after returning from World War I, Ned joined his father's oil business as vice president, making a ton of money. But the good life soon turned ugly when, while serving as vice president, Ned became involved in the Teapot Dome scandal. So story goes that Ned was asked by his father to deliver $100,000 to U.S. Secretary of the Interior Albert Fall. Whether Ned knew what he was actually doing is unclear, but this money was actually a bribe. It was going to help the Doheny Oil Company gain leases on government-owned oil reserves. Edward Sr. was later acquitted, but Secretary Fall was found guilty and was sent to prison. This was a big scandal at the time. Ned was never found guilty of anything, and again, his involvement was always questioned. Did he know the money was a bribe, or was he just running an errand for his father? But it was around this time that Ned decided to build the mansion of all mansions on that parcel of land his father had gifted him. Ned said, "I'm going to build a castle for my family." Construction began in February 1927, and the family officially moved in September 1928. And the mansion was something out of a fairy tale. In total, it cost over $3.1 million to build. That's equivalent to about $55 million in 2023. It was the most expensive and lavish home in all of California at the time. The 55-room Tudor Revival-style estate was designed by an architect. Inside, hand-carved wood detailing, black and white inlaid marble flooring. There's 7 different chimneys in the home, each one crafted by a different artist. The mansion is 46,000 square feet, has a movie theater, a bowling alley, a hidden bar, billiard room. This place is on another level. The family's living room opened onto a large balcony, and when Ned and his wife would welcome guests, they would have a full orchestra playing on the balcony. Outside, the formal English gardens and lavish grounds were perfectly manicured, with a lake, cascading waterfalls, a swimming pool, tennis courts, stables, kennels, oh, and a fire station. The estate became known in town as Greystone, as it was made from a stone that had a gray appearance, but others called it Hearst Castle. The mansion took 3 years to complete, and Ned and his family moved in when it was still under construction. But Ned didn't get to enjoy Greystone for very long at all. Just a few months after he moved in, Ned would be dead. I promise I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but here we are. We'll be right back. You're back with Avery After Dark. On February 16, 1929, just 4 months after Ned and Lucy and their 5 children moved into the mansion, Ned Doheny was found dead in a guest room. His longtime friend and secretary, Hugh Plunkett, was also found dead just outside the bedroom door. It was believed that Ned and Hugh had an intense conversation regarding the Teapot Dome scandal. You see, when Ned delivered the bribe that day, Hugh was with him. And with both Ned and his father, these 2 incredibly wealthy and powerful people, walking free from this, Hugh was reportedly extremely concerned that he was being set up to take the fall. That February evening, story goes that Hugh arrived at Greystone, went up to the gun room upon arriving, and grabbed one of Ned's guns before going to talk to him, specifically a Colt Bisley single-action revolver. Now, if that's actually what happened, we don't know. But some theorize that during this argument, Hugh had the gun pointed at Ned and accidentally pulled the trigger, believing that Hugh was nervous and upset, and when Hugh accidentally fired the gun, he then turned it on himself out of panic. The doctor concluded that Ned had been struck in the head with a bullet. Miss Doheny and the doctor found the 2, and the case was closed within 48 hours. The official ruling was murder-suicide. One of the richest men in Los Angeles, in America, was dead. And what actually happened that night is up for speculation. It's a mystery as to what the men really discussed before the gun was fired. What were they fighting over? Some believe that Hugh was asking for hush money and Ned denied his request. Another theory was that Ned and Hugh were actually lovers and got into some kind of dispute that night. The nature of their relationship is really unknown. Another question, how likely is it that Hugh would have access to Ned's guns? The two were longtime friends and Hugh worked for Ned, but it's a little hard to believe that he was able to enter Greystone undetected and was able to freely enter Ned's gun room without anyone noticing. Ned had 5 young children. Wouldn't the gun room be more secure? And if Hugh was going there that night to intimidate Ned, wouldn't he bring his own gun? Again, it seems strange, but they were longtime friends, so maybe Hugh did have access to Ned's guns. But there's also been speculation that Ned Doheny himself was actually the gunman. Because get this, the Doheny's family plot, where all of Ned's relatives were buried, is located in a Catholic cemetery in Los Angeles. They had an entire Doheny plot reserved, just for the family. But many found it strange that Ned wasn't buried in the family plot. He was buried all by himself in a totally different cemetery in Glendale. And this has led many to speculate that Ned was the gunman who shot Hugh and then turned the gun on himself. Catholics do not approve of taking your own life, and this would have prevented him from being buried in the Catholic cemetery along with the rest of his family. There's also very little information about the men's bullet wounds, where they were located, where the gun was found, the doctor only saying that Ned had a bullet wound to the head. The fact that this case was closed within 48 hours is pretty nuts, and it's believed that this quick turnaround time was because the family didn't want anyone to find out what really happened that night, control the narrative, and get the story buried as quickly as possible. Hugh was also buried in that same cemetery as Ned. And what really went down between the two men is a mystery. Lucy Doheny later remarried and continued living at Greystone for years. And tragically, Ned and Hugh weren't the only ones who spent their final moments at Greystone. 2 female staff members took their own lives at the mansion. One reportedly became pregnant out of wedlock, and given the time, having a child without being married was considered shameful, and she took her own life on the property. And the other staff member took her own life inside the mansion's meat locker on the 2nd floor. The details surrounding her death remain a bit of a mystery as well. There was a love triangle between 3 Greystone Mansion employees. The family's driver, another male staff member, and a female staff member became involved. And this female staff member was strangled to death by one of the men involved in the love triangle inside Greystone. Official police reports stated that after her murder, she was wrapped in carpet and removed from the mansion through a side door. Also, there was a tragic death on the balcony. A young girl, who was a friend of the Doheny's daughter, fell to her death from the 2nd story onto the terrace. The official ruling was accidental, but some believe it wasn't, and that the young girl was actually pushed by someone out the window. Hard to believe such a beautiful, majestic-looking property could be the scene of such tragic events. In 1955, Lucy and her second husband sold the property to the Paul Truesdale Corporation. They went on to develop the Truesdale Estates Homes. And the mansion was sold to a Chicago-based businessman named Henry Crown. Henry went on to lease out Greystone to film crews for movie and TV productions. And in 1965, the city of Beverly Hills purchased Greystone. And the strange occurrences have continued. In 2003, a man walked onto Greystone's property, sat on a bench in the garden area, and took his own life. His body was found still seated on the bench near the pond. And although no one has lived in the mansion for decades, many visitors and staff claim they've experienced unexplainable paranormal events inside. Enter a man named Cleet Keith. Cleet was brought on to work at Greystone to help organize community events in the 90s, and this role eventually expanded into supervising film productions. And it didn't take him long to realize there was something very different about Greystone Mansion. During his 20 years in this role, Cleet found that Greystone was incredibly haunted. Along with his own experiences, throughout his years, he meticulously documented a number of ghostly incidents that took place at Greystone. And it wasn't just a few. Cleet collected a remarkable number of paranormal occurrences, 237 to be exact, going on to publish a book called Ghosts of Greystone, Beverly Hills, Dramatic Eyewitness Accounts. The book is a collection of ghost stories and also a landmark exposé of eyewitness accounts detailing supernatural, spooky activity. Cleet saying that throughout his years at Greystone, he has seen and heard it all and knew he needed to write a book. People wanted more information about the haunting. He said one day, two tourists walked up to him and asked how they could get inside the mansion for the tour. He said he told them the interior is closed to the public, and one replied, "Oh, we just saw a man in period clothing staring out the window and we thought he was a part of the tour." Oh yeah, the stories from Greystone are out of this world, literally. Experiences from park rangers, guests at the estate, police officers, movie crews, janitorial staff. Based on Cleet's research, Greystone Mansion is one of the most active spots in the nation. We'll be right back. You're back with Avery After Dark. Now it's time to get into some ghost stories. Upon arriving at Greystone, the first thing you'll see is the grand entryway. Let's start there. It's been used in many movies and TV shows, and it's magnificent. You may recognize it from Spider-Man 3, Gilmore Girls, The Social Network. It's also one of the most active spots at the estate. Park Ranger Supervisor Juan Andrade shared a chilling encounter he experienced there. He said one morning he was scheduled to work at Greystone. He arrived there around 7 a.m., opened the huge gates, parked in front, and as soon as he stepped through the mansion's front doors, he heard what sounded like a group of people whispering. Juan looks around, unsure of what's going on as there's no one else scheduled to be inside the mansion that morning. He then distinctively hears one of the voices say, "He's in the house." And then it became dead silent. Juan kept listening, wondering who's inside. He turned on the lights, finds the security system was still on, disarms it, and begins walking around the main room to find no one. He said he was certain of what he heard. It was a group of people whispering in low voices. And he said he never heard any footsteps moving away. Nothing. It gave him the chills, as he later realized the house was completely empty. So, who did he hear whispering? The spirits, clearly aware of Juan and his movements that morning. Our next ghostly encounter comes from another park ranger named Gabe. He had one particular experience that rocked his world. Gabe said on one occasion, there was an event at the mansion that ended around 1 a.m. As Gabe and one of his co-workers, Steve Clark, were closing up the estate preparing to leave, Steve tells Gabe that he forgot his lunchbox inside the house. Steve says, "I'll be right back, let me run inside and get it." Gabe said okay and waited at the front entrance. It's late and Gabe is tired. He waits and waits and says it seems like Steve's taking a while. At this time, Gabe said he looked up at the second floor landing and saw a solid white ghostly figure, what appeared to be a man in a tall hat. He said he could only see him from the waist up, but Gabe was surprised as the figure was looking directly at him. Gabe is spooked, quickly looks down, and is in disbelief as to what he's even seeing. He doesn't know if it's a ghost or an evil spirit. And when he looks back up at the figure a few moments later, he sees the spirit is still looking straight at him. Gabe is truly frightened, and all of a sudden, Steve emerges from inside the house. He didn't mention any of this to Steve, not sure how he would sound or if anyone would believe him. Steve quickly went to his car and was eager to leave. Our next account comes from another park ranger named Chon Hang. He worked as lead park ranger at Greystone and said that he had an experience at the mansion that has haunted him for years. Hang said that working there was usually the same for him. When it was time to close up, he would make his rounds, making sure everyone was gone. He would then arm the mansion, turn off the lights, and then he would leave. He enjoyed the simplicity of his job. It was always the same. Except this one night, it was very different. Hang said he closed up the mansion, and as he was leaving, he placed his hand on the doorknob to leave. Using the same amount of force as usual, but this time, he said the doorknob would not turn. Again, he turns it, using more force this time, but this door wouldn't budge. At that very moment, on his left side, he felt someone run their fingers slowly down his head, lightly down his ear, off his shoulder, like fingers tracing the left side of his face and neck. He's freaking out. And then at that very moment, the door suddenly opens. Hank said it felt like he was now able to leave. He flew out the front door, turned around, pulled out his flashlight, shining it back into the mansion, but didn't see anything. Shines the light upstairs? No one. He had just checked the entire mansion. There was no one there. He never saw or heard anything, but he felt fingers running down his head and shoulders. So clearly the main entryway has a lot of activity, but another hotspot is the mansion's grand hall. On another occasion, retired park ranger Les Rodriguez said one day she was at the mansion cleaning the windows on the terrace when she looked inside to see someone standing in the grand hall. She wasn't sure who it was, but appeared to be a man. She looked closer and couldn't make out much, but it looked like the figure didn't have legs. He seemed to be almost floating, transparent. She said he was wearing a reddish-colored smoking jacket, had a mustache, and his hair was neatly combed. This figure stood there for a while, staring at her through the window. And as she was looking at him, Les fully believed she was staring at the ghost of Ned Doheny. She knew what he looked like from seeing photos around the mansion, and based off his appearance, she really felt this was him. Then, as quickly as he appeared, the figure was gone. The really crazy thing about this is, Les shared this encounter with Cleet, and in turn, he showed her some of the crime scene photos from Ned's death. And when she saw them, she couldn't look away. She was stunned to see that the night Ned died, he was pictured in the photos wearing a smoking jacket. Unfortunately, the photos were in black and white, so it's kind of hard to tell what color the jacket was. But it appeared to be a darker colored jacket, possibly, probably, red. She said this gave her goosebumps. Along with Ned's spirit, there's also another figure who's been seen in the Grand Hall. The tall man. A man named Martin Perez worked for janitorial services at Greystone. One morning, he had arrived at the mansion and was outside by the windows to the Grand Hall. He was at Greystone early that day, waiting for the piano tuner to arrive. Martin was scheduled to wait for him and then let him inside the mansion. He turned and saw the piano tuner was arriving, then looked back through the window and saw a very tall man dressed in all white with his head down, walking through the Grand Hall. This man didn't look at Martin at all, just walked through the hall, head down, towards the front door until he was out of sight. Martin then walked towards the front door, looked inside to see where the man had gone, but he was nowhere to be found. He said this was a solid figure, a tall Caucasian man. Martin went about his day, letting the tuner inside, and later asked another coworker, "Hey, who was the guy in the mansion this morning?" The coworker said the only person scheduled to be there was the piano tuner. Martin said, "No, not him. The guy was in the grand hall wearing all white." Double-checking the schedule, there was no one else at the mansion that morning besides the tuner. Then who had he seen? Who was the tall man in white? Now, Cleet didn't just collect these stories. He had a few chilling experiences of his own. He said one day he was giving a tour of the mansion to a production crew so they could plan their upcoming film shoot. As he walked the group through, he noticed that one of the crew members, a woman in her 30s, looked really freaked out. At one point during the tour, she pulled Cleet aside and he asked her if she was okay. The woman asked him, "Is this place, you know?" Cleet knew exactly what she was asking, if the mansion was haunted, but he said he always liked to allow people to share their story before telling them about the paranormal activity. He allowed her to continue, and this woman said that she felt there were ghosts at the mansion, telling Cleet that since she was a young girl, she could feel, sense, and sometimes see spirits. She went on to say that as soon as the crew walked inside Greystone, a young girl ran up to her saying, "I'm Emily, it's Emily." This woman saw that she was the only one who could see this young girl. The rest of the crew couldn't see the spirit. The woman said she walked a few steps back, telling the little girl that she sees her but she has to leave her alone. She didn't want to draw any attention to herself and quickly rejoined the crew. And again asked Cleet, "Was Greystone haunted?" Cleet told her, "Yes." The woman then asked if a little girl had died on the property, and Cleet again answered, "Yes." The woman asked if her name was Emily, and Cleet said, "We're not sure, but a young girl did die here." The woman told Cleet that she was certain her name was Emily. He never saw Emily, but through eyewitness accounts, others have reported seeing her on 5 separate occasions. all inside or on the grounds at Greystone. One of the most horrifying firsthand accounts comes from a woman named Lisa Turner and her husband Frank Turner. Years back, Lisa had been hired to work as the creative director of interior. She was brought to the mansion to work on the card room and the terrace. This is where things get really weird. One afternoon, Lisa arrived at the mansion and brought her husband Frank along with her. This was a very unique job, and Frank was interested in checking out Greystone. So as his wife was in the next room doing some work, Frank was walking around and found himself in the card room. When out of nowhere, he said he felt freezing cold air. Frank begins to get so chilled that he starts shivering. Then his teeth start chattering. He continues to stand there and then begins to feel like something is really wrong. He was getting colder and colder by the second. This wasn't a little chilled. He actually felt like this was a serious medical emergency. He could not warm up. From there, Frank walked out of the house, got in his car, and blasted the heat. But that didn't seem to help, so he drove to the emergency room. There, he was examined by doctors and they checked his vitals, saying everything looked fine but could not explain why Frank's hands and extremities were so cold. Doctors didn't really know what to tell him and guessed he may be coming down with a flu or cold and told him to go home, take an aspirin, and get some rest. Frank drove back home, sitting in a hot bath for the rest of the evening, saying after 5 hours, he finally felt normal again. He said he'd never got sick, never felt like this his entire life, and doctors couldn't explain it. For those who have experienced it, paranormal air is completely different than normal cold air. Paranormal air will have someone feeling like their body has been locked in a freezer. And it sounds like this is what Frank experienced that day. Now, what entity within Greystone caused him to feel this sick is a mystery, but it's safe to say if paranormal activity is sending someone to the emergency room, that's pretty intense and hauntingly powerful. We'll be right back. You're back with Avery After Dark. At the mansion, there is one room in particular that takes the cake for creepy. The creepy cake, shall we say. And that is, you guessed it, the murder room. The guest bedroom where Ned and Hugh died. It's referred to as the murder room at the mansion. And it's one of the most active areas. Staff say the door to the murder room will frequently open and slam shut on its own. Janitorial staff have reported finding what appears to be pools of blood on the floor. One staff member said when she went to mop it up, she put the mop back in her bucket expecting the water to become dirtied, but it was clear. She couldn't make sense of it, but Cleet cross-referenced these accounts and found that staff will see that same pool of blood in the exact spot that Hugh's body was discovered. Crime scene photos show a pool of blood in the exact spot. That is crazy, isn't it? One of the strangest accounts from the murder room comes from a visitor named Tim. He had never been to Greystone before, and a group of his friends who were visiting LA suggested they go check it out, make a day of it. So the group signed up for a 5:30 p.m. tour. That evening, the group made their way around the mansion, and at one point, ended up in the murder room. The tour guide, named John, explained what happened in the room. That the mansion's owner, Ned, and his friend Hugh were found shot dead in the very room they were standing in. John continuing on saying there's still a lot of mystery about that night, what really happened, saying another theory was that they were actually lovers. Up until this point, John had not mentioned any sort of ghostly activity at the mansion, so Tim said he wasn't spooked out or anything. He was just interested in the story and the history of the house. Tim then blurted out, "It was probably Lucy that killed the men. I bet she walked in on them." Tim said he was standing with his back towards the hallway. The rest of the group was in front of him. When he suddenly heard a soft female voice speaking into his ear, he said the woman had a posh tone, maybe even sounding a bit English. But Tim couldn't make out what she said exactly, only that it was 3 short words, 1 syllable each. It all happened so quickly. As soon as he heard it, he was surprised and turned around, but didn't see anyone behind him. Tim asked one of his friends if he had heard the voice. His friend said no, and it was clear that only Tim had heard her. John, the tour guide, seeing that Tim looked freaked out, asked him if he was all right. Tim told him that he heard a female voice. and John told him that ghostly activity was quite common at Greystone, but he had never heard of anyone else hearing a woman's voice in the murder room. Tim said he felt like the voice may have been Lucy Doheny's. He believed she could have said, "You are wrong," or maybe, "You are right." Tim always maintained that he did not imagine the voice. It was real, and he heard it. And he's always wondered what she actually said. Cleet also said that many visitors and staff will say they smell an overwhelming, rotting stench in the murder room. A woman named Mary Nichols, who was hired by Greystone as a photographer, got to the mansion one day and set up to take photos of the interior. She worked her way through the house and eventually ended in the murder room. There, she mentioned to Ranger Steve Clark that she believed there was a dead animal under the floorboards or something. It was such an awful stench in there. If you've ever had something die in the wall of your home, you know the smell. It's bad. Putrid. Ranger Steve told her that she was standing right over where one of the bodies was discovered. And dozens of people have reported smelling that exact stench over the years. After this, Mary hoped to never be invited back to the mansion again. She was spooked. So much about Ned and Hugh's mysterious final moments remain in question. What really happened that night between them is a mystery. One we'll likely never solve. But it's clear, Greystone Mansion will take your breath away one way or another. Either with its beauty or its ghostly activity. I gotta know, have you ever been to Greystone? And if not, would you be up for a tour? Could you spend some time in the infamous murder room? I could, but once it starts stinking, I'm out of there. Who wants to hang around in a smelly murder room? I'd also love to hear if you have ever experienced anything like Frank Turner, that overwhelming cold feeling due to paranormal activity, because that is really spooky. Again, thanks so much for joining me for today's episode. This has been one of my favorite stories we've covered on the show, and I have even more coming your way next week. Until then, I'm Avery Ross, and this is Avery After Dark.